On April 26th, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. Only in theaters April 26th. Rated R.
Lots of things are better together. Hockey, food, golf, synchronized swimming, tailgates before a college football game, late-night karaoke, especially late-night karaoke. There is nothing better than a duet of summer love, and I can assure you that. But if you really want to take things to the next level, drink some Labatt Blue Lights with your friends and live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good morning.
Like a lot of people out there, I'm a big Swiftie. And so as you can imagine, when the Taylor Swift Eras Tour was announced last summer, it was like the Super Bowl for me. I had everything ready to go to give myself the best chance of getting great tickets. My whole family was in on the action. We spent hours in front of our monitors waiting for the link for the presale before the presale so that when we got our chance in line, we clicked the right button at the right time to make sure we had our chance at great seats for this once-in-a-lifetime concert opportunity. Because when you want the best, you have to act quickly, or someone else is going to get it instead. It's like if you're hiring for your business. You want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. So what's the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/gojo. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. So amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/gojo. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/gojo. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Gojo with Mike Golic Jr. That is me. Once again, not with me as always. Brandon Jarrell Newman still handling family business right now. Everything is fine. Anyone who is concerned, appreciated, but Brandon is great. Family's great. Just taking care of some business again that he had come up right now. And so Brandon's voice won't be with us today, which means, again, you guys got to hear me on this, that, and the third when we get to the end of this whole thing. And we had a really interesting show for you guys today. A Football Friday with a ton of football guys jam-packed in this thing here. Dominique Foxworth, you guys know him, ESPN NFL analyst, and now host of the Dominique Foxworth Show podcast. You've heard him on The Right Time with Bomani Jones. He does a day now with the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny. Dominique's all over the place. Excited to talk to him about a little bit of football and a lot of everything else. Dominique is just fascinating, and I love him, and it's nice to catch up with him. We also have an interesting one that ties into my other job. As some of you guys may know, I also call college football games for Learfield, the national radio broadcast with Sloan Martin, who has been heard on this podcast. And this week, we're getting ready to head to Washington as Michigan State will take on the Huskies at Husky Stadium on Saturday at 7:30 Eastern. I believe it's a 7:30 Eastern kick. And so because of that, was able to corral both of their coaches. So we'll get to hear from Kalen DeBoer, who's the first-year head coach of the Washington Huskies, came over after a couple of years at Fresno State and some great success there, was a part of a great 2019 IU run. Fun to talk to him about that program and where they're headed. And then Mel Tucker, the head coach of Michigan State, hero at the bank after this offseason, got a massive contract extension after an 11-2 season and a Peach Bowl win against Pitt to cap off what was an incredible year. They beat their rival in Michigan and looked really good. And so fun to talk to Mel Tucker, who's been really one of the cooler coaches in college football, and he's in that sick-ass 2015 Bama picture. We'll ask him plenty about that and his headspace heading into a year after all of that success for that team. And so all of that's coming up here. We're playing with format a little bit as the football season go along. So as always, we appreciate your feedback at Gojo Show on Twitter, or make sure you download, subscribe, rate, and review. Leave us a 5-star rating and a review. And tell us what you think. If you like some of these coaches that we're getting around here, we're going to try and get some other college football players, some NFL guys as the year goes along. We already talked to, you know, the Lamar Jackson interview, all that stuff. We're going to try for more of that. So if you like that stuff, let us know. Leave that in the review section on Apple Podcasts. Also, make sure you check us out on YouTube, the DraftKings YouTube channel. Check out the Gojo with Mike Golic Jr. playlist. A lot of that great stuff coming up today on the show. But holy shit, Thursday Night Football was something, and it wasn't the something that I was expecting between the Chiefs and the Chargers. Now, this is a game, regrettably, where to get off the schneid, I had to swallow my pride and bet the under in a Chiefs game, which is usually not a thing that I like doing. And they made me sweat it out a bit at the end, but the Kansas City Chiefs get a 27-24 win over the Chargers at Arrowhead, just narrowly dodging that over-under of 54. But the bigger story in this game was certainly, I think, the number one thing coming away from this is Justin Herbert. Gritty performance at the end of this game. They are down after, we'll recap a little bit of the game here. For anyone that missed the game here, the Los Angeles Chargers really came out and I thought controlled most of this game from the start. Justin Herbert to Mike Williams was a combination that the Kansas City Chiefs could just not defend. And the Chiefs' offense was really run game first. They were trying to do a lot to take off the steam from Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack, those two edge rushers for the Chargers. And outside of some incredibly ridiculous Patrick Mahomes wizardry in the first half, this seemed like a game that the Chargers were in pretty good control of. And then in the second half, a bit of that Chargers injury luck starts to creep in here. Corey Linsley, their starting center, who's one of the best interior linemen in the NFL, out for the rest of the game with a knee injury. They end up losing another offensive lineman, Pipton, their right tackle, who also exited the game at some point in the second half. And the story for Los Angeles outside of injury was just missed opportunity, because both these quarterbacks put the ball in harm's way a ton. Patrick Mahomes threw what could have surely been a pick six down by the goal line that was just flat out dropped by Asante Samuel Jr. Should have been six going the other way. There were a couple over the middle of the field that ended up being negated by Chargers penalties on the back end. And so they're able to dodge those, and the Chiefs end up swinging this game wide open when they are able to convert on the other side. Biggest play of the game in real time looked like a bad throw by Justin Herbert, but upon further review was actually down by the goal line. The Chargers are driving with a chance to put this game away. And Gerald Everett, their tight end, you can see him on the replay in the broadcast, tapping his helmet, wanting to come out. He had just had a long catch and was gassed. But the Chargers wanted to go hurry up, and so because of that, he runs a lazy route, drifts where the quarterback expects him not to, and Justin Herbert ends up throwing a ball where he thought he was going to be behind him, and there is a pick six for the Kansas City Chiefs that changes the flow of this game completely. And the end of the game is really where I wanted to start. Justin Herbert ends up suffering some sort of injury. At the end of this game, we're not sure. I think he was being taken for x-rays, but you could see him holding his side a lot. He took a big hit by Frank Clark in the middle of this game. It was a completely clean hit. Nothing wrong with it. But Justin Herbert in obvious pain after that, and had what can only be described as a Matthew Stafford NFL Films type grit performance to end this game. There was one point where he had a third and one in front of him and went to go throw it, had to pump fake because the guy was covered and was in so much pain. He just threw the ball away instead of going for what would have been an easy scamper for first down. I'm not sure if he was not confident in his ability to get out of bounds or whatever. The very next play throws an absolute dart to DeAndre Carter that sets them up for first and goal. They end up scoring to now pull it within 3 points and then ultimately go for the onside kick, aren't able to recover and lose the game. But people wanted Justin Herbert pulled off. Ryan Fitzpatrick, who was on the set of the Amazon broadcast, and this game was broadcast exclusively on Amazon streaming, said, he's like, I was asking when we were out there for someone to take him out of the game. That was how much obvious pain he looked like he was in. And so it's a weird game to look back on. Obviously, the number one thing for the Chargers is, what's the long-term prognosis for Justin Herbert? Because their season begins and ends with what that guy is able to do, because Mike Lombardi, their play caller, still not overly aggressive in that passing game in a way that you would expect a team with that kind of mutant at the helm to be able to be. A lot of hitches. I think I saw, and I want to pull up this stat, NFL Next Gen Stats, I believe had this about Mike Williams, who had a career high in yards off hitches today, which isn't necessarily the thing I want for my gigantic mutant receiver who excels at 50-50 balls in a game where Keenan Allen was out, and that is absolutely a huge factor. But in this game, Justin Herbert, the kind of heroics that we had with Buddy, that DeAndre Carter throw, according to Next Gen Stats, it was 4th-and-1, 27-17 with 2:05 left, and he hit a 28-yard dart to DeAndre Carter. The completion probability was 26.5%. Justin Herbert passing into tight windows was 7-of-12 for 119 yards, one touchdown, and the interception that we said wasn't his fault. So completion percentage over expectation was 17.7% on the night. It was ridiculous. They looked like the better team for the majority of this game. And a lot of what everyone pointed out about the Chiefs, I thought ended up being true. This Chargers defense had nothing to be afraid going over the top with this crew. There was no deep threat consistently that they had to honor. Sky Moore was only getting special teams reps, the rookie that we thought might be the speedster for them out of Western Michigan. And the entire night, it really seemed to be an offense that, again, went run first, I think for obvious reasons, but wasn't even able to do much there. They had 93 yards rushing on the game, but that was only after a 52-yard run on the penultimate drive for Kansas City that set up their game-winning field goal. But so for the Chargers, all the counting stats they outgained, everything there, the difference was Mahomes. Mahomes and the D-line for the Kansas City Chiefs would be my takeaway, because Chiefs O-line run blocked well, still had trouble with those rushers, but everyone's going to. Mahomes had the circus throws back in his bag. And it came with a bunch of balls that could have been interceptable. But as Spencer Hall, the great college football writer, said on Twitter, that's what really great players do at that position. They see impossible throws and they say, no, yeah, I got that. And when Patrick Mahomes nets you the things that you get on the other side, I'm inclined to say charge that to the game. That's the cost of doing business. And that's been the story of his career so far. And it's worked out pretty well. He's got earned trust with that risk taking. So he's the obvious story, number one. We talked about this with Jason Fitz yesterday on the podcast, where he said he thought that Kansas City had lost their game breaker in Tyreek Hill. Their game breaker wears 15 and lives in that backfield. And he uplifts the entire rest of that team. And so that's going to be an interesting problem for them against really this Chargers team and a few of the upper echelon defenses in the NFL. But for the most part, Patrick Mahomes continues to go and cement that benefit of the doubt for a lot of us. The defensive line, I thought, had a lot of key pressures. They got to Justin Herbert a lot in the second half of this game. Chris Jones, and this is a Zion Johnson, the rookie right guard for the Chargers, who is another highly picked guy out of Boston College, really, really good player, held up pretty well against Chris Jones in the first half. They switched him over to the left side in the second half, and it was tackles for loss, it was hits on the quarterback, and it set up a lot. George Karlaftis, their rookie from Purdue, was active again. Frank Clark was the one who put the hit that ultimately, I think, injured Justin Herbert, or appeared to injure Justin Herbert in that game. So I think that was pretty huge for the Chiefs. That D-line was the group that down the stretch in the postseason last year underperformed a bit. We had those weird experiments with kicking Chris Jones out to D-end last year. That group, I think, showed enough promise to cover up for some of the worries that might pop up on the back end against premier receivers. But yeah, still a lot of confidence in that Chiefs team. And for the Chargers now, it's purely going to be about what do they come out on this other side injured. Because Derwin James, full-blown dump truck Travis Kelce down by the red zone, he was a freak. He was a mutant all night. That defense, if it stays healthy, is going to be great. It's going to be an elite top five defense in the NFL if they stay healthy. But the health now becomes the number one concern, because we said, too, Offensive line health has always been an issue historically for this franchise. Popped up again tonight. Your quarterback, Justin Herbert, is going to take your team only as far as he is on the field. So, big worries there. They already got good news on the injury front with Keenan Allen, with that hamstring injury not being as serious as they expected, or as serious as some feared it might be. Now you got to hope that the same is true for Justin Herbert when whatever they get done imaging-wise comes back on his torso. Wild game. One where both teams also, and the other story of this will be the lack of aggressiveness for both coaching staffs here. Now, if you're just box score watching, you're going to look up and say, well, the Chargers were 4-for-4 on fourth down. Brandon Staley is the head coach of the team. Surely this is the same formula that we saw last year, but two of those fourth down conversions were on the final drive when they didn't have a choice. One was at the Chiefs' 49-yard line, so, you know, you're showing 11 at the blackjack table, you're going to double down every time. And then the other one was a 4th-and-1 on Kansas City's 18. So again, kind of another easy-ish decision, but in a lot of the areas where we had seen Brandon Staley be hyper-aggressive last season on fourth down, clearly dialed back. And Andy Reid was the same way, opted for a field goal when he was down on the 1-yard line to tie the game up. Both of these coaching staffs that had been among the more aggressive in the league decided to go out here. And in Brandon Staley's case, finally coached like he's a defensive coach. And I get it. I was texting with Mina Kimes and Dan Orlovsky about it, and he's got an elite defense. That's certainly going to be, I'm sure, what's on his mind. But you've also got an elite quarterback, and especially when you're trying to climb over the Kansas City-sized hill in this division, you've got to find a way to trim the margins. And it's less about just following a win probability model and more, again, about what we heard them talking about in the broadcast, the message it sends to your team and what you're trying to do against a squad right now that's got a quarterback that's just special in Patrick Mahomes. And I know you believe yours is the same, but clearly, there's still a level up right now. Patrick Mahomes is still the best quarterback in the NFL, and some of those differences have to be accounted for. And I thought last year, I don't know if it was a self-scout that led to this. I know everyone's saying that they got to Brandon Staley, who was analytics Twitter's darling, but just, I don't know, fans of aggressive football, people who like to go out there. This was two teams last night that both seemed to, outside of their quarterbacks, be playing not to lose this game and trying to make sure that they just had a shot at the end, where we had been used to them going out and winning it and trying to win it. And I thought that was kind of a bummer. It's why betting the under felt like it was going to be in play, but I shouldn't say that. That wasn't why. The defense for the Chargers felt why. But it ended up being why. The lack of aggressiveness from both coaching staffs, and I wonder what kind of trend that's going to be for the Chargers going through the rest of this year. If that's just, hey, we're on the road against an incredible Kansas City team and we think our defense was licking their chops and had their number for most of the game, or is this something that Brandon Staley maybe doing what a lot of defensive coaches do and reverting back to that form after being the guy who burst onto the scene and was so vocal about it and was so out in the open with it last year? I hope that's not the case, because football is more fun when you have people willing to push it and risk it and be creative on fourth down, but the Chargers offense is not always something that I would liken as or describe as creative in the ways that we all want to see it. So a little bit surprised with that. Not going to lose my mind over it necessarily, but I think especially for the Chargers, you got to keep pushing for those edges. I think this is the argument that always comes up, is punting when you've got a great defense, yada, yada. I think having a great defense will always be more of a reason to go for it, because you can trust that unit with sudden change and believe they are capable of handling that. If you believe, hey, they're going to stuff them on 3-and-out and force us and get us in good field position, you should also believe that they're worth the risk on the other side. And I thought that was the tone that got set last year for Brandon Staley, and I am very surprised that it didn't carry over into this season, because the defense is better now because you've got guys to help you. Again, most of the run production for the Chiefs came on one play. So for the most part, you were able to step up and stop the run, and you're definitely able to rush the passer a lot better right now. So maybe it's just the Patrick Mahomes effect and being on the road, but I hope that's not a trend that persists for the Chargers. So that was the wild game that we had last night. Also the first one for Amazon, I think, you know, in earnest on that app and only that app. Al Michaels still got the juice, man. Like, I can understand why they went out and spent big on an experienced play-by-play that a lot of people know. There's just something comforting about hearing a voice calling the plays that we've heard for my entire life in Al Michaels, who's done it at a really high level. You know, him and Herbie, real smooth, easy rapport. The crews there are really good. A lot of people, the chief complaint for that was really just the ambient sound. It didn't sound like Arrowhead at so many pivotal moments in that game, and really dialed up for the studio crew or the studio crew that was on the sideline before and after the game. Not as much in the game, but the rest of it looked really clean. The next gen stats broadcast that they had was awesome. You get to watch the all 22 copy of the tape. They've got stats playing on the side of this. They diagram personnel for you and kind of do the dots that we see make it to Twitter in real time on the broadcast. So they're trying things. It's innovative. I understand there's a lot of complications with the models that are behind paywalls and streaming services, but it felt like this one at least tried to give us something a little bit different and sort of lean into some of the other. There was also the Dude Perfect broadcast, which I can promise you I will never watch in my entire life. I guess that's for people with kids. Good for them. But at least they were trying to kind of lean into that megacast idea of we can give the, you know, nerd football crowd a little bit to love. And for those of us who do enjoy getting to see those angles and something a little bit different, you still had the broadcast sound over the top of it, so you were getting the same broadcast crew. Kaylee Hartung, by the way, steps away and goes to does actual serious news coverage for a while and comes back and is absolutely nails on the sideline. I thought she kicked ass. So Kaylee Hartung, who I'm sure is an avid listener of this podcast, phenomenal job. I thought she was a really, really great addition to that crew. So cool to see there. Thursday night in the books. Again, not the barn burner we expected with these two offenses, but definitely a good close game that gave us a lot right down till the end. We're going to take a breather, take a quick break, and when we come back, we are going to begin our marathon of guests here and start things off with our good friend and the host of the Dominique Foxworth Show, Dominique Foxworth. All right, the 82-game preseason is in the books. It's finally time for some real basketball. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament all the way through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook's got you covered on same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. And how about this for something interesting if you're looking to bet in the Eastern Conference? The Boston Celtics, understandably massive favorites at minus 170, followed by the Milwaukee Bucks, who have been in second most of the year. And then the third best odds in the East, the seventh place Philadelphia 76ers at plus 1,000, who have been flirting with the play-in since Joel Embiid's injury, now all of a sudden got him back, looking a lot better. Interesting one to look at as we march toward the postseason. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, use code GOJO. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code GOJO only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. That's 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777. Or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Which is inviting people onto your podcast to catch up with them.
Oh man, we're an awesome adult, man.
I was talking about that with someone the other day, and I just remembered how much you and I have both talked about that over time. It just, because I went out for the other night, I went out on Tuesday night with a friend of a friend who brought me into the group, who was of course a woman who was kind enough to facilitate this and bring me into a new friend group, but right. I ended up meeting all these guys that were there, like I met her boyfriend and stuff like that, and one of them said, two guys were there at the counter, and the one's like, yeah, he and I went on a mandate over there in that booth. We literally came here and went out on a mandate together, and I realized you and I went on a mandate to Jay Timothy's one time back in Bristol.
It was romantic as hell.
It was. A dimly lit barn restaurant in central Connecticut is my idea of romance.
Oh, man. So happy you're out of there.
I know. It's a nice change of pace, man. But, guys, everyone make sure you're checking out the Dominique Foxworth Show podcast. Wherever
we started
you
already?
Podcast. Oh, we're in it now, man. We're talking.
I would have turned it on. I would have been doing some more show. My bad. Yeah.
Listen,
romantic mandate.
I like to just like slowly shoehorn it into whenever we're talking here because I want everyone to see the real you, and the real you's lovely.
Nah, they don't need to know the real me, and nice and slow. So I like it.
Nice and slow, baby. Nice and slow. But the podcast, you and I were talking before we hit record on this, but what's it been like now? You are, what, 4 episodes into the Dominique Foxworth show? Is that where we're at?
Yeah, we're 4 episodes in. I think it's good. It's great, all things considered. Like, it's only 4 episodes in, but it's hard to do all of the things that you want to do at once. And, like, the best version of myself, I don't think I figured out how to, like, bring it out, the most entertaining and interesting version of myself, like, hosting and trying to, like, be, I don't know, smart, funny, fun, all that stuff at the same time. It's hard. Haven't figured it out yet, but I'm going to get there. So please definitely listen, subscribe, rate, review, all that foolishness. Does this actually work, though? Like, I agreed to come on your podcast because this is how it's the only time we talk. And yeah, we're friends, but do people actually, like, have you ever done that when you're listening to a podcast and then there's a new guest, do you then immediately go and subscribe? Like, it's free, you might as well do it, but like, I feel like I rarely do that.
So we asked that question, I forget who else was on this podcast, but we had someone actually tweet at us and say, I did go, and as I was listening to your podcast, go and download that other person's podcast to listen to for later. So like you said, if you reach just one person, then maybe it's worth it here. We'll do the best to give
it's
you
not,
the limited Gojo show
it.
Bump. No.
Just being with you is worth it. That's all I need.
That's a great save. I appreciate that.
You're looking handsome.
I'm trying, man. Listen, it's, you know how football season gets, and we both logged on and it was already like a deep sigh because it gets late early in football season. And I feel like I looked over at you and you've got now an added day on Mina Kimes' podcast. Are you and Bomani still doing? I've seen a couple of them pop up. We're doing Foxworth Friday. And you've got 2 of your own podcasts every week in addition to all the stuff you're doing outside of this. Like, you're a busy man this fall.
I am busy, and busy is good. I guess it's fun. I mean, I'll complain to you when it's not recording because everyone else is like, hey, I'd love to talk about football all day and watch football, and I'm looking forward to tonight's game. I got to be honest. Sometimes I'm not looking forward to watching football games. Watch so much goddamn football.
There are some, too, where I did an interview this last week and someone asked me about a college football team, just brought one up and like was going in there. And I wanted to just be honest with them and say, I haven't watched that team this year because they're not that good. And I don't actually care about them. And I've only got so many hours in TV screens. And I don't know if you saw, Alabama and Texas were playing last week. Yeah. And we were all going to watch Alabama and Texas. And I wasn't going to watch insert your team unless I was calling the next week. And sometimes that's just it.
I can barely keep up with all the NFL teams. I don't know how you do NFL in college. Like, I have kids and other stuff. Like, I need a day to myself. I watch a college game every now and then, but I'm not grinding college tape until it's draft time. So it's a lot of football and I do love it. It's so much fun most of the time. But
until it's not.
You just called me on a rough day. I did Levitar this morning. I did Bomani. I'm doing your show. We're recording 2 episodes of Debatable. And then I got another interview later on for another piece. It's a long day, but don't worry. I'll turn it on for you because you're so handsome.
I appreciate that. You do, and I heard you bring this up on the first episode of your podcast, or no, this is when you were talking with Bomani on Foxworth Friday about like the DB confidence and how you've never actually failed at anything that you've gone out and done. Fascinating to me because I always think O-linemen and DBs are similar in the job description to an extent, but the mentality is totally different. Like, do you remember the first time you figured out that you were a DB mentally, that you just walked into every situation thinking you were the best?
I don't know. It's not a thing that you discover. I think what happens is you discover that other people aren't like that. You know, like, it's because I think most of us just think that everyone sees the world the same way we do, and then you think other people are crazy for not seeing the world that way. But you start to realize, like, maybe you are the one who's different. And I think that's what happens. It's like you're with people, and not that I like, I don't know, like I'm not like stupid with my confidence, I don't think. Like, I think I'm self-aware because I'm aware that I'm irrationally confident, if that makes any sense.
Yes.
But I don't understand people who expect to fail. Like, I don't get it. I don't know. I don't get it. Like, people who are like, hey, that's not going to work out. That doesn't work out. Like, I guess I just feel like you got to just, I don't know. It's hard for me to explain because I don't get it. I don't get what's going on in your mind, because when you ask me to do something, my first thought is I can do it. And I'll often get myself in trouble. Like, back when I wrote a lot more, I'd come up with some great complex idea, and then I'm like, yeah, I'll knock that out in 2 weeks. And then it's going to take me longer than that. But like, I every time I'm like, you know, it's going to take you longer than that, but I can't help myself. It's like, no, I can do it. I can do it. Go ahead and put the pressure on me. I can do it.
Watching the wheels turn in your brain just now reminded me so much of a story my dad always told about Reggie White, where they tried to have Reggie during one D-line period teach everyone that hump move that he was famous for. And at one point, he was like 2 minutes in, and he looked up at their D-line coach. He's like, I don't really know how to teach it. I just know how to do it. Like, it comes naturally to me, and I don't understand why you guys can't do this same shit that I can do, because I'm Reggie White. So you are the Reggie White of confidence in all situations, which is nice.
I don't get it. I know I feel like it's off-putting to be like cocky, so like I've learned to like not be like outwardly cocky with it, but understand, if you hear me saying like, yeah, I don't know, maybe it'll work out, who knows, I'm gonna do my best, I'm actually thinking, yeah, I can do it.
I came here to fuck this up. Y'all get ready and relax.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm about to.
About that action. Dominique, one of the other things that I thought was interesting, and you've seen my preparation for this, has just been listening to your podcast and then asking you questions based off of that, because I am both lazy and cheap. But
efficient is the word. See? Efficient is the word that you needed.
We work smarter, not harder, baby. I was dying because Charlie, who does a great job as the producer of your podcast and of Debatable, awesome guy, brought up the idea of like, who do you want to win? You guys talked about. And I was so fascinated because that instantly registered with me coming off of Monday Night Football this past week and what happened with Russell Wilson, where going into that game, I didn't really care. Mina Kimes is a friend of both of ours. I like seeing the Seahawks get wins. You knew it was the revenge game and the return and all that. And then the booze happened in pregame warmups, and I was like, oh man, fuck that. Like, I kind of want Russ to win now. Like, I did not expect that to come out of me. Where were you at on that one? Did you find yourself falling into that player trap?
Yeah, I guess I kind of found myself falling into that trap, except for the fact that, like, I have some, like, Legion of Boom relationships, and I also, like, harbor some of that feeling. But by and large, I'm going to be on the player side in just about all situations. When there's an opportunity for me to be on the player side that is not egregious, that's where I'm going to end up. So if they're booing a player, I want that player to ball out. You know, I want him to do his thing. I want him to play well. I was incredibly surprised with how it seems like nobody likes Russ.
It's crazy.
Like, that's confusing to me, because like, I get why his teammates could be frustrated with him, because it feels like it's inauthentic. But like, for all of history that I can remember, that inauthentic persona is what fans want. And it doesn't. And it's not just Seahawks fans. It feels like there are like just league fans. No one really likes Russell the way that like people feel about Patrick Mahomes. Like, unless he knocked you out of playoffs, most people who like football like think Patrick Mahomes is a cool guy. They like him. They think he's amazing. Like, the same for Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow and Herbert. Like, these guys have that about them, and Russell seems like he wants it, but it doesn't seem like it. Just feels like the only time we talk about him is like, incredible throw, or that was cringy.
Well, part of it is he is so public with the cringe. Like, yeah. Tom Brady started doing the thing when he left and went to Florida, where he's got a really good social media team, and they put out all this stuff that made people go, oh, this guy's kind of relatable. He's drunk on a boat after the Super Bowl. With Russ, it's just been more of the same weird, hey, Seattle, we've got a deal videos from bed for a long time. Because it's not even like I can ask, are any of these quarterbacks now, in a day and age where we always say, like, man, kids can tell, especially like the younger generation of fans, when you're faking the funk type thing. Like, the guys you just mentioned, Patrick Mahomes doesn't give us a ton of himself. Mm. Justin Herbert, we don't really know at all.
No.
There's a lot of these guys that aren't any more giving of their personalities. I feel like they just haven't put the weirdest part of them on display as much as Russ seems to offer up.
Is it working, though? Like, I guess that's a dumb question, because I answered it before I asked it. It's like, I don't think it's working. So I'm confused at why he's sticking with it. Does he know it's not working, or is this what he's going for? I don't get it at all. It doesn't, like, I mean, I was going to say that it doesn't seem to be working on any audience, but Sierra must like it. So that's the only audience that counts.
I feel like when you get to hold up Sierra and the bank account, because clearly people in charge of teams look at him. The only thing I can think of is maybe it was just finally when things started to go off and the winning stopped happening as much late in Seattle, where, because, like, similar but different, I feel like a lot of the same feelings popped up around Notre Dame fans with Brian Kelly as Seattle fans with Russ. Where, like you said, I can understand guys like Richard Sherman who had beef, or if there were guys that played for Brian Kelly that had beef, because no coach has a universal approval rating in any locker room. Football's too big a locker room there. But I was amazed at how quickly the fan base there also flipped their script on how they treated him. And it feels like Seattle fans let out this sigh of relief where they're like, yeah, you know what? We'll go out here and chant Geno Smith's name. We don't care if he's as good top end, because he's not you anymore. We were tired of it.
Another question. So you live in Manhattan Beach now, and you're a beach guy. How much more do you work out? And how conscious are you of your diet? Because I think people know you were an offensive lineman, but you haven't looked like an offensive lineman in a long time, which, like, you look great in your clothes or whatever, and it's a little different. I feel like LA, living a few blocks from the beach, like, you can't just be like healthy guy. You got to be fit guy.
Dude, it's wild. Like, even I'll give you two examples. One,
are you shaving your chest now? Are you shaving your chest?
No.
Okay, you're not there
yet? I'm not
yet?
Shaving my chest, but I do shave my head a lot more often. Like, when I lived in West Hartford, Connecticut, I'd let it go and kind of get to that mid-ground for a while where you can tell I'm balding. But I'm like, I know all these people. I either went to high school with you, or I work at ESPN with you when I live in Connecticut. Now it's like, all right, man, I'm still auditioning for, like, the end game on this. So I got to go out here and put my best foot forward as much as I can. But the real reason I started working out more is, one day I was driving my car and a dude looked over at me and said, he, like, pulled up at the stoplight and he's like, are you who I think you are? And I'm like, I don't know. Who do you think I am? And he goes, Russillo. And I'm like, shit, that's right. I stole the bald bearded white guy thing moving to LA from ESPN from him. And so Russillo's in great shape. Like, he's jacked for LA and, like, in shape for LA. So now I feel like I had to go out there and double down on the two-a-days to make sure that if I'm gonna get mistaken for Ryan Russillo, people don't think he put on weight. I don't wanna be fat Ryan Russillo like they used to be. I think Diana Russini's now husband used to get called fat Russillo by a bunch of people, and I don't wanna be that guy.
I think you should go the other way. Like, you already copied it to some degree. Like, you need to get big enough so no one will mistake you for trying to live Ryan Russillo's life. It's like, no. I just blow up and we got to come up with a better nickname than Fat Russillo, because following in his footsteps, like, you can never be Russillo. You just have to be. Yeah. So just be the bald guy.
The
who's
other
really
part
fat.
Is everyone's so active down here, though. There are literally people walking down my street to go surfing right now.
Nope.
I see people eating acai bowls by the water.
Don't believe it. Everybody loves fried chicken. I don't give a damn how many acai bowls. Maybe they don't want to do it out in public. Somebody is in their house right now eating biscuits and chicken and is getting fat, all types of fatty mashed potatoes. Like, I don't believe that. This is all for show. And there are a lot of different ways. I mean, presumably you want to be attractive to the opposite sex. It's generally why people want to like work out and whatever. Nah, that ain't the move. You just got to be good at something. Yeah, like be confident and talented at something. Work really hard at podcasting and get fat and you'll be fine. Roll your big body on the beach. It'll be okay. You'll be happy.
I mean, listen, I got laid when I was an offensive lineman. All you need that's to fair. Be at some point is charming enough. Like, that's the defense. Like, I don't know. Like, again, our position rooms were so different in that way so because different. I always said people are blown away by how many, like, movie quotes and all that stuff. I'm like, dude, I was 300 pounds for a long time. I had to find other ways to be appealing, not just to the opposite sex, but to people in general. So you guys got to go out and, like, wear the tight clothes and look good and all that. That wasn't the world I get to live in, even now still. I mean, you're in phenomenal shape despite being a multi-time father and having all these jobs.
I'm not in phenomenal shape, but I don't care. She like it. That's all that matters.
If you lift up your shirt, is there still a six-pack?
Yeah. Sorry.
Fuck you. I'm not in phenomenal shape. God damn it.
I mean, I guess it's all relative. It doesn't matter.
It is all relative.
Pros to being a former DB.
Yeah, no, it's – well, usually, like, guys that played the skill position spots, like, running back for some reason seems to have the highest correlation of going from skinny to big. I always think it's because – and you could tell me this. I always said for the skinny positions, you guys had to work and be skinny for your job. We had to be fat. And so everyone just gets tired of doing that thing and wants to go oppo for a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's just genetics, man. Like, I tried – everyone said I was too small every level, and I tried to gain weight. I ate a lot of food and I just had bigger shits. Like it wouldn't stick. It was, I tried creatine in college and it just gave me the runs. It's all related to my digestive system, I guess. I could never put on weight. Now I'm at a point where I can actually like gain weight, but still like, I normally watch the scale. When I get to 180, I'll spend a week like eating one less thing, and then I'll drop back down. I'll work out a little bit. It's just efficient. I got an efficient body. I like it. It works for me, which is...
Yeah, the one thing people can take away from this podcast is... No, but you poop a lot, which is really likable. Like, I took that and said, oh, man, look, you know, it's like the book that you buy for your kids. Everybody poops. I just got that for my nephew because everybody does poop.
So much poop. So many poops.
Speaking of poops, this podcast is going to come out Friday after the Thursday night football game. Do you want to have a take that you can write the headline for tomorrow? Ooh. Like a take that you want out there for the game result you believe is coming in Thursday night football. So when people play this tomorrow, they'll think, wow, Dominique Foxworth clearly watched that game and gave this bit of correct analysis.
That play was incredible. And the game, the way that it turned in that moment, outstanding. A couple bonehead decisions along the way, but you're gonna live with them. I'm just happy we're here to see it. There we go.
Yeah, it's incredible. If this was the NBA, I'd take seven of those.
You can't go wrong with that. Yes, that is a positionless take that I just gave you. Like the modern NBA basketball player, I can play anything from 5 to 1 on that positionless take.
We're going to clip that off, and I'm just going to have people plug that in for whatever game they want analyzed this weekend. Dominique just gave you the all take. You can take that one, plug it in at any spot along the way this upcoming weekend.
On Debatable, they have us do – we had some tennis stuff today. And, oh, my take cliche machine was rolling. I just did a little bit of Mad Libs. I did all the same things I did for football. I just put in some tennis words. Said Roger Federer, and they ain't know no better. The fact of the matter is, most people watching Debatable, they don't know about tennis either. I gave them that good analysis. They believed it. It was outstanding.
My analysis for off sports like that in this season is just what you mentioned. Go and find some writer who wrote an article that details all of this. Take the one name I need and a couple of clever adjectives, and we're good to go, baby. Serena Williams and Roger Federer retiring. I got those tennis takes for you for days. Longevity, accomplishment, golden age of tennis. You just throw all that shit in there and you're good to go.
Wow, man. I didn't know you were such a tennis junkie. I'm a believer. Oh, man.
I watched the U.S. Open twice in the last couple of weeks, and I walked out of that. I was talking about that Alcaraz, the kid who won the U.S. Open, the 19-year-old, doesn't sweat at all.
He's outstanding. The athleticism there, like he is the type of athlete that we have in, like, I guess it's not fair, but it doesn't feel like when I do watch tennis that there's a lot of athletes that I'm like, they could do something else. Like, they could play high-level soccer. If they grew up in America, they could be a cornerback, which is the highest level of athlete the world has ever known. But he is one of them. Because, like, even, like, watching Tiafoe, it's like, he's a really athletic tennis player. But, I mean, I don't know that it translates. But watching them on the court together, I saw Alcaraz, and I was like, nah. He just so happened to stumble into the tennis academy, I guess. But anything short of basketball, because he's not all that tall, he'd have been pretty good at just about anything.
I do like the idea that he's like a strand of DNA, just like waiting for the next thing. It's like, oh, here, this is the ball that happened to come your way early on. We're going to absorb this and we're going to change to fit it.
Here, this is so, like, my podcast I mentioned is I'm still working through it. It's not exactly where I want it to be yet, but this is a topic that just came to me that I kind of wish I had on my podcast, and I was thinking I should save this for my podcast, but no, I'm going to use it here. I find it interesting who is successful and when, because, like, our recollection of, like, who's the greatest linebacker in history? Like, I would say Ray Lewis. I don't know who you would say.
Probably up there. You go Ray Lewis, Junior Seau, any of those names would probably work.
Yeah, I mean, Junior Seau strikes me more as a linebacker like Lawrence Taylor, I guess, as, like, more of a pass rusher than, like, an off-the-ball true linebacker. So, like, I don't know. Let's say Ray Lewis.
Yeah.
Ray Lewis was the prototype for linebacker. And Ray Lewis would be great in the league today, but he probably would not be, like, an off-the-ball linebacker. And all the people, like, the way that football was played in the past, I don't know, 10 years ago, let's say, is not the way it's played now. And the league is, like, full of, at that position, it's full of, like, the best possible linebacker now is, like, Shaquille Leonard, who is essentially, he's like a, he used to go by Darius. He's a linebacker for the Colts, and he has trouble staying over 220 pounds. He's like a big ass safety. And I just sometimes think about the idea that there are 10 to 15 guys that were just born at the wrong time that might be the greatest. Like, they are built to be the greatest linebacker in the 90s when we ran the ball, you know, but they are in a referee's jersey pushing shoes right now just because the game evolved, and the game didn't evolve. And I think about that in my career. Like, when I came up, it just so happened that we had temporarily moved away from the big corners, and we needed speed corners. And so I was able to get into the NFL, you know, I was born in America, and I was born in Baltimore, and I happen, like, all the little things that give you this opportunity. So I just imagine that there are, like, some Ray Lewis-esque player just somewhere, just wishing he was born 10 years earlier and is in the back of a TGI Fridays bussing tables. It just, I don't know. It's not a happy thought.
Well, but it's not, but it's also, like, you're right. Like, you can pull out and do the bigger life picture on this, because I think about this all the time. Like, the luck that I was born, where I was, when I was, to a family that was super stable, you know, parents. You know, you can do that in the big picture. But you zoom in, I don't even think it's necessarily a guy at, like, Foot Locker. Like, I always thought this The Eagles linebacker room is a fascinating look into that, because obviously you've got Kazir White, who's a little bit more of that modern mold you talked about, but TJ Edwards, who's the guy that they brought, or I forget if it's Edwards or Edmonds, one of the two, they drafted out of Wisconsin a couple years ago, is a big downhill button shed linebacker. N'Kobe Dean had all of these people wondering about him coming out of Georgia, because maybe he's not as much of a sideline to sideline freak show speed guy, but he does so many of those traditional things well, as far as right place, right time, voice on a defense. And I think they're going to be really good in that defense. They'll probably never be all pros or Hall of Famers, because at some point the game asked different things of them. But those are two guys especially, and I remember it with TJ coming out, just because that Wisconsin linebacker room kind of breeds those dudes. And if you would put him even 5-10 years before he entered the league, it's probably a totally different way that we accept him.
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting to me, because it came to mind because we were talking about Alcaraz, and I actually think that I don't know his background, even though I'm a tennis expert. I should read into it, but it feels like, because I don't know. I think I'm a really good athlete, but I think that if I grew up in a soccer playing country, I'd probably, never mind. I was about to say I wouldn't be good at soccer. Nah, I'd be messy.
Yeah. Don't fake it.
Damn it. I wish I was born in Brazil. Sheesh.
I know. Could you imagine? Cause soccer fame, again, you have achieved a lot of levels of high success and fame, but that soccer fame over there is built.
Bananas.
Now, they will also light your house on fire and potentially kidnap your loved ones. Yeah. But
you get the pros with the cons. I'm not sure. I'm pretty happy with this level of anonymity that I have now, and the rewards that I get. I'm at a level where I got good money, but all I got to deal with is every now and then somebody on the street, like a middle-aged black man, said, "Hey, ESPN, what's up? Hey, keep doing your thing, brother. Tell them people what they need to hear." That is the worst it gets for me. Whereas Messi can't leave his damn house in any country in the world. Think about that.
No.
Even our biggest stars, you could take them to a favela in Brazil and movie star level stuff. And I feel like there's some of them that they're like, I don't know who that is. What is this person doing here? There is nowhere on earth that Messi can go and not be accosted. Him and Ronaldo. And I guess
because this is interesting. I always think about this, and I thought a lot about this, because you're right. That upper crust and how they move when they have to go places, because there's a bunch of stuff they have access to that we'll never even be able to conceive. And then there's a bunch of normal shit that becomes really complicated. And I thought about that with Tom Brady and the 11 days off during the preseason, because everyone talked about now him and Giselle and that vacation that they had booked. And I was man, couldn't they just move that vacation? They're rich. And then I was wait a minute. The vacation that they have to go on to try and keep their family insulated, when you've got not only Tom Brady, but Giselle, who's probably more famous worldwide, depending on where they're going to go, than him. You probably had to book that months in advance, because there's probably security and shit involved, the private parts. Island.
Yeah. The jets.
It's stuff I can't dream of.
I don't know what the life that they're leading, but it's not one that I feel is easily altered. They know what they are doing well in advance. I was, I think it was the Daily, ESPN Daily. I was listening to Pablo's podcast this morning. Having all these friends with podcasts is freaking exhausting.
Wild.
I feel an obligation to listen to everybody's podcast, but some of the balls be getting dropped sometimes. But anyway, I was listening to that this morning. They were talking a bit about how international basketball is. And it made me think of the age-old question. I guess it's not really a question, but football and how jealous the NFL probably is. That's the only thing that they might be jealous of, because the NFL is obviously dominant when it comes to American sports. But they'll never challenge soccer or world football in the way that they dominate all these local sports, because it just can't be international. It can't be. There's no way for it to be international. Because you think about the Dream Team trip, it's what everyone points to as what really made it so the NBA is international. And now, I don't know, the 10 at least of the 20 best players in America, maybe more, are foreign born, which is amazing. You could never do a dream team for football because people would die, and they don't play it anywhere, and people would literally somebody might die.
Yeah, well, and it's so weird too because there's a lot of places that have rugby, which is the most football tangent sport that's popular abroad. And we saw the reverse engineer of that go on with the popularity of soccer now in the U.S. Like, they were able to come over here. The cross-pollination there is always wild to me because after I read that book, The Club, about the foundation of the Premier League, like, how much of their model of what they do for the most popular league in the world is based off of the NFL and what they looked at and liked from how they were making money.
Look at you showing off.
I just don't know.
Fancy book reader.
I got books over here.
Bragger.
Got random books and shit up here. Yeah, no, look at me. Look at me, Louie, on the side. But no, it is wild to conceive that. But at least a bunch of people get to go to Germany this year and play a football game and see the sights in the name of trying to spread the gospel of football.
Yeah, I don't know. And it's such a complicated – when I went to business school, that was when it really hit me how complicated the game is because they were, international students and football's such a big deal over here. And I was, the football guy. So they would come to me and be like, so explain this game to me. And it was the first time that, because I grew up in America and everyone knows what football is. And then I was like, okay, so they're four downs. You got to get the ball here. Oh, no, you can push the guy, but after 5 yards, you can't do that. Oh, you can throw it on this down. Oh, no, when you kick it here, it doesn't get you points. When you kick it there, it does get you points. Oh, no, that's an interception. But and it's just like every other sport, it's all soccer. Like everything else is soccer. Like hockey, basketball, with the exception of baseball, I guess. It's all just soccer, rugby, all of that stuff, lacrosse.
It's so true. I don't even know the penalties in half of those sports. It's just a vibes-based sports penalty economy where it's just like, hey, you know what? No, that was too much. We're going to stop for a second. Now go again and then just do the thing.
Yeah, it's a weird game. I'm glad we have it. I enjoy it. I still wish that I was playing soccer in Brazil, though, because, man, that would have been fun.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I did play soccer in Brazil
it
once.
Been fun.
And I gave them the business.
Really?
Yeah, I was killing them.
Got their ass.
We had to go down there for a project, and I stayed in Sao Paulo for 2 weeks. And so I just went to the local park and just started playing soccer with the people out there, and they're just regular Joes who were much more technically skilled than me. But you know what I got that you can't teach? Speed. Speed. I was riding out on them. And they're lucky I couldn't talk trash in Portuguese. I was just saying random English insults, and they didn't get them, but I didn't care.
You're just out there giving them the eyes and the facial expressions.
Oh, yeah.
You gotta let the shit talk go on with body language there.
I had to
give them one of these, a snarl.
I had to shoot 12 shots to get one goal because I was not skilled, but I had no trouble getting them shots, boy, because these are just regular dudes got off work at the construction site and wanted to play a little footy. They were surprised.
I just imagined you. My initial image of this was you as the soccer version of Peyton Manning on Saturday Night Live, just busting a bunch of kids' ass out there on the field. You got little kids, and in Ted Lasso, he's playing nice, and he lets them hit him with the five hole, and you're just out there doing these kids in, just getting after
them. That's all I know how to do. So I instituted a rule in my house that I don't let kids win after they turn 10. Mm. So my daughter she'll be 12 soon. So, and if she beats me in anything, she's done it. So we play board games or whatever. She gets some wins and she's very proud of it. But my son, he's 9. That man got a few months left before it's going to get real. And he don't know what he's in store for. He has no idea. Cause life,
So You've been letting him have a few in the lead up to this, though.
A little bit. So, like, I don't play Madden anymore, but he likes Madden now. And so, I mean, I picked it up quick enough that I was working him. But you can do settings on Madden that, like, one team can be on all Madden and the other team can be on rookie. And so he'd be changing his settings down, and I don't say nothing. I just let him go in and do that. And so it allows me to still try my hardest, and I'll still lose to him. But that ends in a couple of months, boy. I'm calling that shit out. No. We don't do that, little fella. We don't do that. Everybody is on all Madden.
I had a friend of mine in college do that to me on 2K unknowingly for 4 years. Every time we played 2K in his dorm room, he would set his on rookie and mine on all NBA, and he'd be busting my ass with, like, the early 2000s Warriors, and I was pissed. And then finally we're, like, near graduation, and he's giggling his ass off telling me about this scheme that he's been running for years.
Man.
Anthony McDonald's a piece of shit, and I hope he listens to this.
Dude, that guy, you called him a friend. He's not a friend. Because that, in college, it is never more, like, talk about social standing, and there are a few things more important than who was good at video games and how good you were. Like, me and my roommate, we had a poster up in the wall, just like a big sheet of poster paper, his name on one side, my name on the other side, and we kept tallies, and we would play. I mean, it mattered. It mattered to me very much. Like, it would ruin almost as much as losing a game. It ruined my night if that game cheated and let him win, because he could never beat me fair and square. But if it cheated and let me win, we ain't going out tonight. I'm gonna stay home. I'm gonna text the old faithful. If she don't hit me back, I'm going to sleep. But I ain't going out. This is not a cause for celebration. I'm in mourning.
I got some feelings I need to process, and if you can't help me with those feelings, I will just turn in and I will let the sleep do the work. That is one of my favorite parts about team lock, like team environments, is all of that stuff matters so much. And I thought that was just college, and then I walked in rookie mini camp at the Pittsburgh Steelers. I walk in, and the first thing I see on the whiteboard in their locker room is the ping pong standings for the table that's inside the locker room. That shit was not a game. That was life down there. Like, I can see why Mike Tomlin's handing out the Black Air Forces down there, because they don't play about that shit. There is nothing fun about that. That is business.
Ping pong is an outstanding game also. Oh, I had at my old house, I had a ping pong table, and I'd be in the basement with my friends, and so, like, let's play a little round of, like, I don't know, a little ping pong. Inevitably, drenched in sweat, 3 hours later, talking shit.
Yes.
And it was magnificent. We still, like, talk about that to this day when I text them, like, what's up, man? Like, you remember that? Remember that year when we used to just play ping pong all the time? That was great. We hated each other, but we loved each other. It was outstanding. That was the peak of male friendship. Now, the only time I talk to my friends is if they ask me to be on their stupid-ass podcast.
We'll do a podcast next time where we get so sweaty that we end up taking off our shirts by the end. That's the goal.
You don't tip me with a good time.
I mean, I'll do it right now. I don't give a shit, all right?
I don't really want to change the rating on your podcast to MA, mature audiences.
Yeah, we do put this on YouTube, so they would probably actually be pretty hyped. But you know what? Got to keep them coming back for
I'll
more.
I'll give it to you next time. Let me get these abs right, do some push-ups or something.
One efficient week and you'll be good to go.
You're right.
Dominique Foxworth. Check out the Dominique Foxworth show wherever you guys get your podcasts. Make sure you watch all the great things that he's doing. He's on the Mina Kiem show. He's on The Right Time with Bomani Jones. Hardest working man in showbiz. Dominique, thanks, buddy.
Thank you, buddy. Let's do it again. Next week? All right, cool. I'll call you next week. That's how we're going to be friends. I'm going to make you have me on your podcast all the time. Bye.
Like a lot of people out there, I'm a big Swiftie. And so as you can imagine, when the Taylor Swift Eras Tour was announced last summer, it was like the Super Bowl for me. I had everything ready to go to give myself the best chance of getting great tickets. My whole family was in on the action. We spent hours in front of our monitors waiting for the link for the presale before the presale so that when we got our chance in line, we clicked the right button at the right time to make sure we had our chance at great seats for this once-in-a-lifetime concert opportunity. Because when you want the best, you have to act quickly, or someone else is going to get it instead. It's like if you're hiring for your business. You want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. So what's the best way to do that?
ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Gojo. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. So amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Gojo. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/Gojo. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.